It's member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, and all things considered, we are in our Atherton Performing Arts Studio. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you very much for joining us. It was last year at some point that the average white band rolled through town. They're back through Sunday at Blue Note Hawaii. And we had Alan Gorey, bassist, guitarist, vocalist, Ani McIntyre, guitarist and vocalist. We were hanging out and had a great conversation. I really enjoyed it, and it's a privilege to welcome both of them to our Atherton Performing Arts Studio. Welcome. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Great
again.
To see you again. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice to be in your studio.
Yes. Now, I'm holding this new Inside Out, not in stores yet, but this is, it seeds the mind for a few months
yeah.
down. The road.
And we've brought preview copies for audiences that come to the gigs. It's only right, really, that the live audience gets the first shot to listen to this stuff because they're the ones that really pay all our bills in the first place.
Makes a lot of sense. And now this Harvest for the World, was a few months back, I'm thinking it was May or June, that the studio version of that, Isley Brothers classic.
That's right. It was the end of May.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's got an Isley on it, too, I guess, to make it even more.
Yeah, Chris, that was a good hookup.
Yes, it was. Does that connection to the Isleys date all the way back?
Work
yeah,
to do?
It does. I mean, our first trip to America as a band, we'd only been formed a couple of months. We were rehearsing, and a friend of our manager's, a guy called Bruce McCaskill, was working with Delaney and Bonnie, and then Bonnie went solo and decided to do a solo album. And he took the tapes from our rehearsal back to her, and she said, I've got to have them. So she went to A&M and got them to bring us over to the States to work on her first album. Dream come true for us, because suddenly we're in the middle of Los Angeles and
a lot of talented
in the middle of
cats.
A scene, people popping in like Freddie Stone from Sly's band, and Bobby Womack popped in, you know, all sorts of people.
Well, that's where we first heard the Isley Brothers album, Brother, 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 upon which was Work to Do, which we then, to a lot of people's knowledge, it became an AWB track.
Right.
In fact, oddly enough, we've just had a request from a French film company that are doing a thing about first young cat that went into space for 8 months, an IMAX thing about him, and they want to use our version of Work to Do as part of the soundtrack. So our connection with the Isley Brothers, as Ani says, goes back to 72 in
the
Los
beginning.
Angeles to the beginning of the band.
Yeah,
and it's going into space.
That's a really incredible thing, though, to have it come all the way back like that. And a song like you chose. You did Harvest for the World, and this is a song that comes from 1976, I
guess. Yes, it's 76. I thought it needs to be done somehow differently, and I thought, well, we'll call Chris Jasper. He's a close neighbor of mine in Connecticut. So I just called him up out of the blue and said, how would you feel about revisiting your song? And he said, let me think about it. And he was back to me within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. He said, why don't you come round to the house? So I went round to his house. He pressed the button and my God, the thing was almost done. He just basically came up with what might have been the best solution for how to revisit the song.
That's fantastic. Since we last talked, a major cat passed on. I know Ani at least got the chance to record with Chuck. Chuck Berry.
Oh, God. It keeps coming up.
My ding-a-ling.
I know, but the irony is, it was part of a live album. Robbie and I were asked to do a live show.
Just to back him.
Yeah, just to back him. But there was absolutely no rehearsal before the show, and Robbie kept saying, Chuck, what's the arrangement? Eddie, can you arrangement? You know? What is it? And Chuck's going, when I do this, you start. When I do that, you stop.
Makes it real simple. I guess to fill in a little context, Chuck Berry notoriously shows up to a gig and has pickup musicians for that show. So Chuck didn't bring a band around.
He turned up in his stage clothes.
Right.
With a guitar.
Right, in his briefcase with a...
Not even that. He put the money in his pocket.
Oh, no. I like that. That's
and he wouldn't go on until he had the money in his pocket. So if you look at the photographs closely, you'll see this bulge.
And that's what that is. That's his packing of money.
It is.
Did you show up before him? Or?
Oh, yeah, we were there early because we were already doing a set with the band I was with at the time. And then we were standing there and Chuck walks in and he comes right over and he introduces himself. And I went, hey, Chuck, honor to meet you, man. You know, I'm Ani. He went, you, guitar. He didn't want to know my name or anything. Your guitar. And he did the same with everybody else. I was like, and Robbie's like sitting there, you know, making faces and look. Robbie was a consummate professional.
Right, and
absolutely.
He put you in an awkward spot by not letting you rehearse at all, and then you're going to be with this legendary guy.
His take on it was, look, I'm Chuck Berry. You're supposed to know all these songs.
Exactly.
What's the problem? I give you the key, and I tell you when to start and stop, and that's it.
What's
the
there to rehearse?
Here, what's wrong with this picture we're saying, and he's going, nothing. You know?
I can imagine it.
But
no, he was a tough customer.
Having said that, I mean, what a showman. What an education in showmanship. He led the entire audience, rules the whole thing. He gets everybody on his side, and we just had to kind of stand there and listen to the performance and how he gets the whole audience going. And then he finished up with reeling and rocking.
Oh, he knew how to do it.
Yeah, as far as showmanship goes. But the other stuff, the musical stuff, was he'd be playing like 11 and a half bars instead of 12 bars and 14 yeah. bars instead of 12. And his guitar was all out of tune and everything, but it didn't seem to matter because it was the energy yeah. and the audience reaction. An amazing experience. It really was.
And when it's over, he's toast. He's out of there. He's got the money.
And I saw him after that. He walked off stage later. And that was it.
Right.
Apparently he went straight off stage into a car and back to his hotel.
And you never saw him again in your life?
No.
And that was it. Who were some of the really important people that you met or got to tour with? Like the way that Ani was reflecting yeah. on Chuck.
I don't think I ever had any of that. That's why I just hold that against him. resentment's amazing.
And you can hold a grudge.
We all can't hang with Chuck Berry. It's true.
Well, I would say the people that impressed me the most were the opening acts that we had, were like Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the Commodores.
Whoa.
They're opening for Average White Band in 1975 because we've got the number one hit. And that's how the business goes.
Lionel Richie warming up for you.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, he was in the Commodores at that time, and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes with Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh.
So we're standing in the wings watching all this going on, and we've got to go on after them, and they're consummate showmen because they've been doing the Chitlin circuit right. since they were 10 years old, and they know exactly how to, as
work
he
a
said,
crowd.
Work it,
yep.
work the audience, do the whole thing. And we know we've got to go on after them with very little experience, but we have a number one hit record. That's all we have, we think. However, once we got on stage, after seeing these guys, it put some lead in our pencil. It did something to the band. How to be a showman, how to turn being a club band singer into being a big stage
arena act.
Act, yeah. So these are the things that impressed me. Les McCann was another one.
There was a couple of Atlantic events, like the Atlantic
right.
40th.
77 and 88,
and
I guess.
88.
The one in 77 in Montreux. The one in 88, Madison Square Garden, all-star kind of jam. It's very different than the all-stars gig in Montreux with Atlantic.
That was the 40th anniversary of Atlantic Records.
Did you watch those other bands?
Yeah, we were there all day.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
There were a lot of great things. When somebody didn't turn up for their allotted 20-minute set, not John Belushi, his partner, Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd
got up and filled in the 20-minute gap.
And he was hilarious.
He was hilarious.
I'm sure.
I doubt he'd ever spoken to a crowd that size before. Right. In Madison Square Garden, but he just ad-libbed 20 minutes of sheer genius.
A real diverse lineup, quite different than the one in 77. This was kind of like all the different flavors of Atlantic in some ways.
Yeah. From jazz to rock and roll.
Right. Was it like really late at night, like past the curfew kind
of? It was past my bedtime.
Wow. Okay. That tells us a lot now.
I was in the bar. We'd all been there since 11 in the morning. It was a long day. A long
day. What you're saying.
Yeah. And we were thirsty. Scotsman do.
Right. That's not a surprise to anybody. And your final question, Steve, the mystery emailer, sends me stuff from bands past. Sends useful stuff like your debut, April 25th, 1975, Blaisdell Arena with a 20-minute pick up the pieces. Listen to these ticket
Is that
prices.
All?
$650, top ticket, $550, and $450.
I know.
And now that's like
Isn't that amazing?
That's the service charge now.
Yeah, that's parking. No, that's not even parking.
Right, that's a portion of parking.
Yeah. Wonderful memories. Ani and I were talking about that yesterday. We both still got our wooden fruit bowl from Tom Moffat.
Oh, wow.
Inscribed Aloha and Mahalo. Hawaii loves you.
Nice souvenir.
It's a nice souvenir.
It's lovely. Yeah.
I've still got mine.
Do you have yours?
I've still got, I was telling Alan, something happened and it got burnt. No, I don't know.
You're left. Not supposed to put it in the toast.
Yes, yeah.
Next to it, it was irreparable. However, I took the brass nameplate off.
Yeah, you have that.
You know, and I still have that.
Yeah, it's a great
The idea was to put it onto another bowl. You know.
It was great to work
thanks,
for Tom.
Thanks, Tom. It was wonderful.
He was our first benefactor here.
And you know he passed?
No.
No.
Oh, he didn't know that?
Yeah. Well, I thought you were speaking to him in the ether, which is just
well,
as appropriate.
Well, that's fine. Oh, that's just as appropriate.
Exactly.
I'm fed up with people passing.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of really good people in the last couple of years.
But you have a great souvenir from it, and I think that's cool that you can remember.
Well, now it's even more important.
Yeah. You won't burn yours, and you'll mount yours on something. It's Average White Band, and they're through Sunday, Blue Note, Hawaii. We've been thrilled to have Alan Gorey and Ani McIntyre, original members of the band, back and in our Atherton Performing Arts studio. I hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very grateful
Thanks,
to have
Dave.
You.
Thanks for having us again.
And hallelujah for NPR. It's the only radio I listen to.
Aloha, everyone.
It's Alan Gorey and Ani McIntyre.
We're from the Average White Band.
Don't even think of touching that dial.
In fact, just rip it off the radio right now.
Ooh, we're tuned to our friend Dave Lawrence.
Aloha, Dave.